Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Looking forward to our time again. And here we are, New Year's Eve. This video will be put up. And so I'm just so thankful for the time of the year, which causes us to remember that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of the world. And I trust He's the Lord and Savior of your life. And this is one of the things that even as we start, I'll just say this, and we'll get more into it. But isn't it interesting that the world would allow you only once a year to be reminded that Jesus is the Savior? They don't want to remind you every single day, because then you actually just might believe it. Come on, think about what I'm saying here, folks. It's very interesting. The devil always wants to make you feel like there are limitations and boundaries to what you can experience from God. You're going to have to guard your heart from that. So even these videos, it's all about as far as you want to go, having as much as you want to have, and have it as often as you'd like. And if we don't have much tangibility with God, not very often and not much, and we don't seem to go very far, it only says that our desire is not strong enough. And you need to really guard your heart so that desire begins to grow and grow and grow. And I believe we've got a grace story. In fact, I'll go ahead and read it. We don't have to wait till the end to read it. This is a wonderful grace story from someone named Becky. And it says, I had purposed in my heart to set aside a time to sit down with the Lord to have face-to-face time. Having conversations each day, all day, was an established thing, but I wanted to honor His presence on purpose. I decided that 10 o'clock to 10:30 each night would be good, since that's when I usually got home. At first, it was thrilling to know that He was there, just Him and me. Sometimes there were no words. Sometimes there was gentle correction or specific direction. No matter what we talked about or if we just enjoyed each other's company, it was always good. After the weeks passed, I began to notice that even though the desire to meet with Him was still there, the time with Him was beginning to be difficult. I didn't seem able to connect with Him for some reason. There was interference. I did sense, though, that He was assuring me that nothing was wrong with our relationship. That gave me encouragement, but I missed the intimacy that I enjoyed with Him. I still kept the 10 to 10:30 time open. I wasn't going to stop going to that place with Him no matter what. I began to realize that it was just the devil trying to mess with me, to steal those precious minutes with my King. A few days ago, I noticed that there were suddenlies of intimacy with Him. Someone would say something about Him and my heart would be consumed with His presence. I would hear a song that glorified Him and the same thing would happen. I believe He was saying to me that He would see that we would always have our times of fellowship, no matter what. He was initiating our times together. As long as my heart was turned to Him and tuned into His presence, I would never be without His tangible presence. I believe that the seed of desire and determination to meet with Him had brought forth a harvest of shared experiences from Him. Thank you for giving me this platform of sharing my adventures in grace with you. Merry Christmas to you and your beautiful family. Thank you so much for that wonderful story. And I love the part at the very end where she said, my seeds brought forth a harvest of intimacy and desire, my seeds of desire. So if for some reason you don't seem to have what you'd like to have with God, you don't seem to have it very often, and you don't seem to go very far, then sow the seeds that you have. Remember, there's no test. God's not holding against you that your desire is at a level one and it should be at a level 10. If you'll give Him the level one, He'll increase it until it's a level 3. And then all of a sudden it'll be a level 7. And just like you heard of this testimony, the next thing, it's not just your initiation of time with Him. He starts to initiate all kinds of things with you. And you say, why doesn't God just initiate all kinds of things with me to begin with? Because He is initiating things with you, but you're not paying attention. You've got to start somewhere becoming aware of the connection. And as the connection begins to grow, you'll realize God's been initiating things all along. I just haven't been listening. Oh, is that what that was? I didn't know that that was the Lord. I just thought I was hungry. Come on, or whatever it is that has gotten in the way where your flesh rises up, and the devil tries to make you think you can't have what God desires you to have. Well, you know, we always start, and we're already 5 minutes into this. We always start with Matthew 11, 27 to 30. I trust you in the Message Bible that you've got this memorized as well. And Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique father and son intimacy, a relationship come out of father and son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. You know, we've been talking about the tree of good and evil for the sake of beginning to show you that grace always wants you to turn your back on the way of the world. I love this in the Passion Translation. It does a really good job. Verse 11 and 12 of Titus 2, it says, God's marvelous grace has manifested in person, bringing salvation for everyone. The same grace teaches us how to live each day as we turn our backs on ungodliness and indulgent lifestyles. Notice, it teaches us how to live each and every day, but you got to be able to turn your back on what? On ungodliness and indulgent lifestyles. Now, if you think you've got to come up with the desire and the ability to do this, you are 100% wrong. I'm telling you, everything about the kingdom of God works on awareness and recognition. As you begin to recognize and become aware that you have really fallen into the trap of doing things or spinning the way the world spins, sounds like a soap opera, and it is. The awareness and recognition is met by the grace of God to help you go the opposite direction. God's not asking you to do one solitary thing in your own strength and your own ability. If that was possible, he didn't need to come. He's asking you simply to acknowledge where you're at. And if you don't know where you're at, you can't get your spiritual GPS to take you where you want to go. So it is the acknowledgement and the recognition that your flesh is rising up, that you don't see things accurately. You're not experiencing the tangibility of God. That acknowledgement and the desire for that to change is met by God's creative desire and God's creative ability to create in you the power and desire to do of his goodwill, pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. That's Philippians 2, 11 and 12 in the Amplified. That's how you work out your salvation, folks. That's how the salvation that's in you works to the outside and you see change. It's by simple acknowledgement and recognition and opening your heart and mind to the grace of God to lead you, guide you, empower you, and show you how to actually change. God wants to do it all. He's not putting this onus on you. And it says, not only turning your back, but then he equips us to live a self-controlled, upright, godly life in this present age. Amen. Well, of course, we talked about some great things yesterday or Tuesday. And I also then want to talk about a few more things with the 5 or 6 minutes that we've got left. But I want to say in the midst of this Christmas and holiday season, we can get very caught up in the things of the holidays. And it can be just as much a distraction to your relationship unless you on purpose guard your heart to allow God to be a part of everything you do, even in the holidays. Do you know, families have had some of their biggest squabbles and the greatest drama in the midst of supposedly giving wonderful gifts to one another. You know, it's supposed to be given. It'll be given back to you, good measure, pressed back down, shaken, shall men give unto your bosom. It's supposed to be like, as I'm giving, there's an amazing spirit of giving and love that causes the atmosphere to change in a marvelous way, not drama. But people take their lifestyles of the world right into Christmas time, and the next thing you know, you got all kinds of drama right in the very midst of Jesus Christ being celebrated as the Savior of the world. And so that's just how deceptive the enemy is. And that's why we have to learn to protect our hearts, even in a time like this. So I look at Genesis chapter 2, 15 and 16, and it says, then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Wow, man had to work. He had to do gardening. He had to pull weeds, and he had to edge, you know, the beds, and he had to, you know, chop down trees and do all kinds of labor. Now, I really don't believe that's what it means. To tend and keep the garden was to actually protect it. What do you mean protect it? Maybe God was letting man know right then and right there, there might be a test coming, and he would have to guard and protect what garden? Well, I kind of go along with Proverbs 4:23 to answer that question. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow or spring the issues of life. Keep your heart. Keep the garden. Tend the garden. Tend to your heart with all diligence. I believe what the Lord was saying is, Adam, you're going to have to keep your heart, tend to your heart with all diligence, for that's what where it flows the springs or the issues of life. Someone's out there that's going to try to come and steal the life out of your heart. So guard your heart. I believe this is really what the Lord is trying to say, guarding your heart. And we can find answers to that if you'll ask yourself some of these questions. And I don't like asking them any more than you do, because there's times, man, where I can answer these questions and feel real good about my life. And then there's times where I answer these questions and don't feel so good about my choices. But what does it come down to? It comes down to learning how to be diligent to pursue the Lord and find him in a very tangible way, which means the consistency of how you choose and where you put yourself in a position for God to experience God. You say, well, that's the job of God's grace. The job of God's grace put us in a position to experience him. You're going to have to embrace that position, and that becomes your choice. Oh, you know, it would be really, really nice if you just woke up every day and made every correct decision. But that comes down to hunger. That comes down to desire. And God, by his grace, will put that desire and that ability within you, Philippians 2, 11 and 12. But you're still going to have to openly respond with a free will choice that you have to embrace every good thing that is in Christ and to reject on purpose the mentality and the mindset of the world. God wants you to be aware of guarding your heart, even at a time of Christmas where we celebrate Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. So here's the questions. What do you value? Where is your energy? Where are your passions? And where is your time? What do you value? Where is your energy? Where are your passions? And where is your time? When you begin to ask yourself those questions, be real simple and be real honest with yourself. You say, oh man, Jesus is my passion. He is all my all in all. Well, how much time do you give him? How aware of him are you on a regular basis? How passionate are you about him? Oh, I'm so passionate. Well, how come it only seems like he has about 4 hours of a week? Well, even in a day, there's 24, which means 20 hours of just a day far outweigh 4 hours of a week. What's the other 140 hours doing? These are hard questions, because we've learned the pattern of the world and we become really good at following the pattern of the to-do list. I've got so many things to do, I don't have much time. I'm swamped in this and I'm swamped. I just want to relax and sit down and watch 3 hours of TV. Well, at least you could ask the Lord to watch them with you. And maybe it would even influence what you watch. Wow, these are really, really good thoughts here. Matthew 23, 25 to 26, and we're almost done today. These questions will define your heart. It says it may be saved, but the choices you make will give evidence to the fruit you produce, good or bad. And this is what it says. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, then the outside of them may also be clean. You know, this world's all about you presenting yourself and having a good outward show, but what's really going on the inside? And these are the kind of questions I have to ask myself. Someone may look and say, Jim, you just look like you got your whole life together perfectly. Well, not necessarily so. There's all kinds of things that I continue to grow and repent of. What do you mean repent of? Change my direction, change the way I see things, open up my heart for change. That's really the life of the believer. In the day we live, surrounded by so many wrong conceptions, you should be repenting pretty much all the time. The further you go in God, the more you see a life that was lived in the wrong direction. You'll repent from that direction and you'll turn toward the Lord, and God will show you things that you had not yet seen. And that's called progress. So repentance is a part of progress. You know what? I'll stop right here. We've said this before, but what train are you chucking wood into? If you got a train of the flesh and a train of the spirit, spirit connected to God, flesh connected to the world, what choices are you making on a regular basis? Is there more wood going into the train of your flesh and it's screaming down the track than going into the train of your spirit? Because even the moment you start to equalize things and the train of the spirit starts moving at the same time the train of the flesh does, I'm telling you, the grace of God is so far more abundant than sin. In other words, the goodness of God is so far beyond the badness of sin or the hideousness of the world. You will find yourself, as you begin to experiencing him, you will find that the goodness of God, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, it will change your heart and your direction. Wow, have a wonderful, merry, merry Christmas. Can't wait to be with you again. Follow us on Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page or subscribe to Adventures in Grace YouTube channel. Always send in your grace stories, finding God's influence in your life. You should find it all over the place at Christmas time. Even if you see something negative, that's the grace of God teaching you so that you don't go that direction. Send us your stories. Can't wait to hear them. God bless you till next time.